candidate.
So we'll continue our discussion on Sfiras HaOmer. There's a famous shaila, famous question of others, but it's known as the famous question of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch, at least in theory. It really has very little to do with the Sefer HaChinuch. He just uses it as a springboard to speak about Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why I like the Minchas Chinuch. It has nothing to do with the Sefer HaChinuch. It's a condominium of Torah Shabbat Peh. He goes off and he asks a bunch of different questions and etc. So one of the famous questions he has is regarding the question we had yesterday. David's Talmud. This bar mitzvah boy, the one who got bar mitzvahed yesterday, and it applies to anyone who has a birthday during between Pesach and Shavuos. This question at least comes up once. Someone who becomes bar mitzvahed in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, can he continue or begin counting Sfiras HaOmer? So let's make a couple of assumptions, first of all. Number one is, if we assume it's 49 separate mitzvahs, then it's a non-starter. Then why not? You could start counting day 49 and make a bracha. So we're assuming it's one. We're assuming the explanation of the Bahag that it's one big mitzvah, and if you miss one, it's over. And then the second assumption we're making is that he's been counting while he's been a minor about law katan. He should be no better than a gadol. Just like we assume a gadol who misses the first 30 days can't continue 31 with a bracha, even though it's a discussion, but we assume not. So too, a katan's not going to be better. So working with those two assumptions, it's one big mitzvah, because if it's 49 mitzvahs, then it's not a shayla. So of course he could count with the bracha. And if he hasn't been counting, then why should he be able to count? I might say everyone agrees that these are the basic assumptions we'll be making. So keeping those two things in mind, what's the issue at hand? So the question is, he's actually counting while he's a katan, and now one day he becomes a bar mitzvah boy. The question is the counting he did as a katan, does that count towards the mitzvah? When you do, the issue at hand is, when you do a mitzvah which you're exempt from, and later on, because every katan is exempt, because you don't become obligated in mitzvahs until you turn 12 or 13. So when you're doing it, you're volunteering it, whether you're doing it midrabbanan, because you have a mitzvah of chinuch, or whether the mitzvah of chinuch is on your parents, that's a separate discussion. But the bottom line is, minat Torah, or whatever the obligation is, he's obligated in mitzvahs. He's exempt from mitzvahs. The question is, if you do a mitzvah during the state of exemption, and later on you become obligated, can the mitzvah you did when you were exempt count for later on, or do you have to do the mitzvah over again? So we'll have to go through Shas and try to figure it out, try to find some examples, and of course we'll look for an apparent contradiction and then try to reconcile it. So there's a famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, at the end of Rosh Hashanah, talks about a case on Passover. It's still matzah, still fresh on your mind, or stale on your mind, whatever it is, it's on your mind. And the case is as follows. Someone who is temporarily insane, I'm not getting personal here, someone's temporarily insane, but for our purposes, I'll make it simple, not to get personal. Let's assume during the hours of 8 and 9, the person's insane, and during the hours of 9 and 10, he's sane. Let's assume that for our example. He eats the matzah during the 8 and 9 slot when he's a shota. He's a legal fool, he's temporarily insane. We all know someone who's a shota is exempt from mitzvah, so he eats the matzah between 8 and 9, and then he wakes up from his insanity, or linsanity you might call it, but his insanity, he wakes up at 9:15, he says, wait a second, I have to have the mitzvah of matzah. He says, no, you already ate the matzah at 8:15. So the question is, he obligated to eat? Because when he ate the matzah between 8 and 9, he's exempt from mitzvahs. And now, between 9 and 10, he's obligated, because he has to eat another piece of matzah to fulfill his mitzvah. So the Gemara says, and the Rambam codifies it as well, the halacha is he's obligated to eat another piece of matzah. So we see from this Gemara, If you do a mitzvah during a state of exemption, and later on you become obligated in that mitzvah while you become sane again, the mitzvah you did during your time of insanity does not count. And when it's, so therefore, if that's true, it would come out then a katan was exempt from counting while he was a minor, and therefore, so later on, he becomes obligated. The mitzvah he did earlier does not count. If we go by this Gemara, it would seem he can no longer count with the bracha. His counting he did while exemption does not count like the matzah. That's one case. However, there's a Gemara in Yevamos which seems to imply in the other direction. Another famous Gemara on, I believe, Salmuk Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara in Yevamos has an interesting question, which is also a question similar to what we're talking about, but we could ask the question, someone who converts in the middle of Sfira to Omer, what about that person? Could he count Sfira? But the Gemara is talking about a convert, but not talking about Sfira to Omer. Someone who converts to Judaism. So we all know that one of the mitzvahs we have, it's only in our control partially. Our mitzvah is to be osek in Pru Revu. Our mitzvah is we have to try to fulfill our mitzvah. Obviously, having a boy and a girl, having any kids, is up to God to whether it's going to come out or not. But our mitzvah is, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, one of the questions you'll be asked in Beis and Shamalar, but in the heavenly courts, where you osek in Pru Revu, do you try to have kids? So the mitzvah is to try to have minimally a boy and a girl. It's a machokas in the Gemara, two boys. We paskin a boy and a girl, does it? And there's another mitzvah of Lashavish Yisera, you should have as many as you can. So the minimum speaking to fulfill your technical mitzvah, Pru Revu, you need one boy and one girl. So the question is, you had this Gentile couple, and they had a boy and a girl. Maybe they had many boys and many girls. And now they convert to Judaism. So the question is now, so we know when you're Jew now, you're obligated. There is a discussion in the Gemara whether a guy is chayav in Pru Revu, but we assume they might have been Kodem Matan Torah. Now we assume not. So we assume they weren't obligated in Pru Revu. So now a Gentile couple becomes a Jewish couple. Amazing. So now they have to. They're going over the checklist. Okay, we have to have children. But we have 10 kids. Do they count? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Do they have to have more kids? So I say the non-Jewish kids they had, is that enough to fulfill the mitzvah Pru Revu? Or do I say, no, they have to have more kids? So Rav Yochanan says they fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Revu. Reish Lakish says, no, because Tosis points out, we're familiar with the famous principle, a ger sheniskayer kekatan shenolad dami, that when someone converts, they become like a newborn baby. So there's no connection to your children. Biologically, there's still a connection, but halachically speaking, there's not. And therefore, you have to have more kids. So we paskin like Rav Yochanan. We paskin, they do fulfill the mitzvah. There's a further dispute within Rav Yochanan. How far does Rav Yochanan go? In other words, does Rav Yochanan say they fulfill the mitzvah by doing nothing, or the kids also have to convert? But if the kids convert, then they get the mitzvah. That's within Rav Yochanan, but that's not our shiur tonight. The bottom line is, we'll assume Rav Yochanan says you fulfill the mitzvah. So we see from this Gemara, a non-Jew who was exempt from the mitzvah Pru Revu, and then later on they become obligated when they become Jewish, they do fulfill the mitzvah. So we see a mitzvah done in a state of exemption does count for later on when you become obligated in that same mitzvah. So we have an apparent contradiction. When the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah by the matzah, it seems to say that a mitzvah done in a state of exemption is a no-go. You got to eat another piece of matzah. But when it comes to the mitzvah Pru Revu, we see not that way. So how do we reconcile this apparent contradiction? And depending on which Gemara we take as the primary, that will give us our answer regarding Sfira to Omer. In other words, it's the act of a katan is exempt from Sfira. When he becomes a gadol, he becomes obligated. So can he continue counting with the bracha? From the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the implications are not. From the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Yevamos, the implications are yes. So the two ways of attacking the Shiloh, which will be a tremendous nafka mina. The nafka mina is, do we attack two people. We're talking about Gentile versus Ashota. In other words, the case in Gemara Rosh Hashanah was a case of Ashota, a legal fool. And the Gemara's case in Yavamis was a non-Jew. That's one way to try to make a distinction between those two people. Or the other way of attacking it is to make a distinction between matzah and pru revu, between matzah and having kids. So the Minchas Chinuch is going to take the latter approach, making a distinction between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of pru revu. And the Turi Evin is going to take the approach of making a distinction between a shota and a guy. So I guess we'll begin with the Minchas Chinuch. And we might have to continue this year at one point. So the Gemara tells us, so the Minchas Chinuch in Simen Aleph, you don't have to look too far, in his first halacha on pru revu, he has a famous shtickle. When he talks about the nature of the mitzvah of pru revu, of having children. So he quotes an interesting Yerushalmi and the Ramah over there. Let's say someone has a child and they're happily married or maybe not so happily married, and then they commit adultery and they have another child. So let's say they had a girl from the wife and they had a boy from their adulteress. So the question is, do they get the mitzvah pru revu or not? The Ramah is not condoning adultery, by the way. We're talking about post facto. We're asking a pure legal question. Do you get the mitzvah pru revu? You've definitely violated arayas and different other things, but that's not the question here. We're not making ethical judgments. We just want to know, do you get the mitzvah pru revu or not? So the
your wife get it?
Does the wife get what? The mitzvah pru revu?
Yeah.
Women don't get the mitzvah.
Women are exempt, actually. That's a separate mesha chachma we have to get to. You would think if one mitzvah women are obligated in, it's having kids, yet women are exempt. So how does that work? So the mitzvah is on us, but they have to do it. So
because they're not supposed to have a mitzvah where they're going to be in a lot of pain.
Yes, he's alluding to the mesha chachma. The simple reason is it's a pasuk in the Chumash. Pru revu v'kifshuha. The pasuk says you should be fruitful and multiply and conquer the world. And the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, it's the dark el shoish. It's the men who fight the wars, not the women. And then the Meshech Chochma in Parashas Noach, he gives different makshavas. You know, he tries to give tamei hamitzvahs. And one of the reasons he gives, like Jeff pointed out, is that since it involves a tremendous amount of physical pain, yes, I would know. What do you mean I would know? Yeah, I had a kidney stone. That's what they say, it's the equivalent. I like to say it's worse because mine wasn't natural. But my wife doesn't like when I say that, but I still have my kidney stone. So therefore, the Meshech Chochma goes through so much pain. How could God command you in a mitzvah? God doesn't command me to have a kidney stone, he just gives me one. How could you command a woman to go through all that pain? So therefore, you put the mitzvahs on the man. Because Derechecha Darchei Noam. He also gives a psychological reason as well, because if the mitzvah is on the woman, we know there's halacha which we don't really know geya bizman, as maybe if it's svarim, because they could have more than one wife. It's Gemara talks about if you don't have kids in 10 years, so then you have you didn't fulfill your mitzvah pru revu, so it discusses getting another wife. So what? So they point out that if the mitzvah pru revu was on a woman, she'd have to get divorced because she can't have two husbands. You have to know who daddy is. But if for a man, even in theory, he could have two. So therefore, because of the psychological, if imagine having two people in love and you're forcing them to get divorced, the Torah wouldn't do that. Therefore, they put the mitzvah on the man and not the woman, because a man would never be forced to get a divorce. In worst case scenario, you could just take out another wife. But either way, so that's why women's exempt based on the pasuk. So the Minchas Chinuch writes, he discusses the Yerushalmi, he discusses, why is it a mitzvah haba b'aveira? A man who commits adultery and has a child, how could you say he fulfills the mitzvah pru revu? And for that matter, even if he had no kids with his wife, and he had two kids with another woman, he still gets the mitzvah. It's not a matter of one-on-one. It could be two from this person as well. Why is it a mitzvah haba b'aveira? We have a principle. The Gemara tells us in many places, but one in Sukkah, in the fourth parak, lulav hagazel.
You
steal a stolen lulav. Not only is it a meaningless activity that you don't get the mitzvah for, number one, lakachtem lachem, it has to be yours, number one. But in addition, the Gemara tells us mitzvah haba b'aveira. A mitzvah done through the means of aveira is it's not only a meaningless activity, plus you're involved in the aveira of stealing as well. So therefore, if one who steals a lulav and etrog, you don't fulfill, so it doesn't pay to steal it because you're only violating geneva, not getting the mitzvah. It's a simple solution is the person could give it to you, a matana manas lahagzir, because you have to own it when you do it. So it doesn't mean own it, meaning you have to actually buy it yourself. Halakhically speaking, if you don't have one, I could give you my lulav, you know, as we're going to say, for the next minute, this belongs to you. So when you shake it, it's yours and it's not someone else's. So getting back, so why isn't it a mitzvah baba veira? You committed adultery. Or even if it's not adultery, you had illicit relations in wherever the case may be. So why isn't it a mitzvah baba veira? So that's what the Minchas Chinuch goes into. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Puravu? I mean, when is the mitzvah happening? So when is the aveira happening, and when is the mitzvah happening? Because we have a different principle on the other end. It's called ase doche los ase. There's a principle in the Gemara. If you have a mitzvah ase, you have a positive commandment, and it comes colliding with a mitzvah los ase. It comes in collision with a negative commandment. What gives? So there are a lot of principles, but the classic case of ase docha los ase is, let's say, well, on the tzitzis or on the big day kahuna, there used to be, or there still is, depending on your, that's a separate shiur, do we have tcheles today or not? And even if we don't, do we have enough of a doubt that you should be wearing them? Because if it's a suffix mitzvah in our Torah, so I heard the two ends of the scale. Someone says there's 0% chance this is the real tcheles. I heard a shiur on that. I heard a share on someone say, someone doesn't wear tcheles, you violate Baal Tigra. You violate taking away from the mitzvah. So you got to make a stand because you can't win. But that's a separate share we'll have to get into. So either way, so we have a principle. But so some the klal is, it has to happen at the same time. Say, ase docha los ase, it has to be be'idna. And at the time I'm doing the positive mitzvah, that's the same time I'm... So you have a similar principle on the other end. For mitzvah haba b'aveira to apply, at the time I'm doing the mitzvah, I have to be involved in the aveira. So for instance, let's say someone, so the classical case is you steal a box of matzah and you want to use it for your mitzvah of, you want to use it for your mitzvah of Leil Pesach. So that's a mitzvah haba b'aveira, that's a no-go. But let's say you don't have an Erev and you have to carry. Let's say you're in the Prince of Wales and you had to get to the Queen's Landing and there's no Erev and the Shmura Matzah you are carrying from one place to another, so you're Machal Shabbos. What about I eat that matzah night? Do I get my mitzvah? Do I say mitzvah baba veira when I carried the matzah from one place to another? So either way, we'll have to come back to this. So we'll have to reconcile, to summarize, we had whether a katan can continue counting with the bracha. When you do a mitzvah in a state of exemption, does it could count for later on? From the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with the matzah, with the person who ate the matzah when he was insane and later became sane, he has to eat a new piece of matzah, implying that he cannot continue counting. From the Gemara in Yevamos with Puravu, it seems he can. We're in the middle of reconciling, so hold off on that child until we finish.
Wait
to get the resolution. You'll have to come to Shalom today if you want a quick